Well, boys and girls, I got some very, very sad news for you today. I just picked it up on on the internet last night. It's extremely sad, and everybody around the bunker and around the neighborhood here is all shook up about it. Yeah. They're really, really shook up about it.
Somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
We took it bad here, too. But Obama took it really bad. You heard what he said there at the end. Deep down in his heart, he still loves him. What are they crying about? Well, Netanyahu, the premier from the bandit state of Israel, announced last night in the middle of the night he's not coming to the United States. He's canceling his visit. And we're so goddamn broken up, we don't know what to do about it. It's terrible. And Obama's really, really upset. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And don't forget, you can reach me now. I'm answering this phone every morning. 559-670-1473. You leave a message on there, and I check that out now every morning. So, and then go up to resist.com, our big website. We're getting a lot of compliments to our website, for our website, and our webmaster that works so hard to keep it up there. Yeah. Well, let's go to the first half of our white American radio show that we did the other day with a young man. Yeah, let's do it.
Piece of this is man's bullshit. They call this war a cloud over the land, but they made the weather, and then they stand in the rain and say, shit, it's raining!
I did what I did for the good of the realm. The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agree to tell each other over and over. Till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie? Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all. Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail, but never get to try again. Given a chance to climb, they refuse. They claim.
Welcome to White American Radio, where white is right every day. Today we have a special guest, Tom Metzger, veteran of the pro-white movement, head of the White Aryan Resistance, and former host of Race and Reason. His contributions are without reproach to our people and our movement. Tom, welcome.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, it's a great day out here in the Midwest. Every day is a great day when you wake up and there's no flowers around your bed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. It's a great white day because everything's going our way now. I'm really thrilled with everything. We've got total chaos moving across the country. I got to thank Donald Trump for that. And with chaos, we can have change. There's no chance of change without chaos.
That's right, because chaos promotes those who are strong to become stronger and persevere.
Especially since the system is totally unusable to us. Anybody that thinks racially is still playing around with the political parties and things like that, other than to help destroy them, is foolish. I want to see the Republican Party destroyed first, because they're the closest ones that sort of pretend in the back room to like us, in some of them. And they were the ones that came up with the Southern strategy that Reagan used to corral white people for political reasons, not so good for the people themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the Republican Party has trapped so many of our good people over the years that I want to see the Republican Party destroyed, and I hope that Donald Trump helps. You see, then the Democrat Party, that's not a big problem. At least the Democrat Party comes right out in the open and says what they think. They don't tend to hide things like the Republican Party. And also, the Republican Party is too much into Christ insanity, too, and that's got so many people trapped in this country in a mind fart. So,
Donald Trump, you know, has really struck a chord with the frustrated white majority. I mean, it's amazing, because nothing this guy says and nothing these liberal, you know, newscasters want to rank on him turns him down. I mean, he just goes through everything smoothly, and he's doing an exceptional job. But I can honestly say that most of the people on the news media, they get one check from the Jew who runs the media and one check from Donald Trump that says, keep me informed.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, he's got to understand that he's part of the system too, and he's always been part of the system, and it just happens. It's coincidental to the anxiety and the angst of the general working class public that this is all taken off. It's just sort of almost an accident, and but I think we should play on it, but not play on it the way Mr. Duke is playing on it. If you were really for Donald Trump, you wouldn't come out and endorse him, being a more of a radical group or a radical philosophy or whatever. You'd want to keep your mouth shut and help the guy. National Socialists or Klan or anything like that that comes out and endorses him is hurting him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's where I disagree so much with the old right wing. They do things like that. They don't think things through. And if Donald Trump was any good, they'd keep their mouth shut. On the other hand, it has a two-edged sword. This Duke endorsing him, the Klan endorsing him, is causing the Fuhrer to get more Fuhrer and more chaos. And so in that sense, that's good.
Would you say that we should basically vote for the worst to come to power, hoping that that would tear the country apart and have them run to our arms?
I used to say that, but I say don't vote at all. Voting only encourages them. We have nothing to gain. We don't have enough numbers to make much difference in voting anyhow. Maybe in a small town or something, but even in a small town, if the minute they find out you're racial, everybody dogpiles on you and you don't have a chance. So I said, let's not waste our time on petty politics, bourgeois politics.
So what else do we have?
Well, it's obvious what we're going for. Might is right and revolution. There will be a civil war or revolution in this country. I don't know when it's going to be. It might not be in my lifetime, but it's coming. And that's what we have to look towards, because that's going to be our opportunity. Our opportunity will be to make deals with other sections of people and all kinds of things, but that's going to be our only chance to pull it out for the white race. Wasting our time in the meantime on all this. I wasted years and years in the right-wing anti-communist movement when I should have been right away in the racial movement. I wasted all that time playing right-wing Republican politics. And then even Democrat politics, you know. So it was a learning thing for me. I got a Harvard education doing all the things I've done. I've done just about everything, and all the stuff that failed, I learned and I moved on and did something else, you know. I've done almost everything any right winger or left winger or anybody else has done since 1964. And I found that 90% of it was a waste of time.
Well, I've been on both sides of the fence. When I first became a mainstream writer, I found myself trying to suppress my natural National Socialism and conform to the media, who wanted me to. I was writing books on ancient history and archaeology at the time. And I wanted to conform to that race traitor, Graham Hancock, and the Jew Robert Schock, and all those guys, because they were making a lot of money, and I wanted to make money, and they were very popular, and I wanted to be popular. So I figured, well, I'll just conform to what everybody else wants me to do. It was just a few years later that I finally came to the conclusion that I didn't care what other people thought. It was what mattered was my race and its future, and sticking to my race, and that I don't have to be afraid of being called a Nazi or a white supremacist, as they call it, and that I really affirm that Nazi is the N-word, and I don't care if they call me that or not, you know, and I was proud to be white, I was proud to be a white racialist, and that's all that mattered, and then it was up from there.
Well, I refer to myself as an Aryan socialist, or as an Aryan. I don't refer to myself as a nationalist, because I think nationalism has failed us and caused us all kinds of harm and bitter anti-white wars and all, killed millions of white people over nationalism. So I think nationalism has failed us. It was taken over by capitalism, and with that, we lost it. So we have to fall back strictly on racial socialism.
You're a pan-Aryanist.
I'm a pan-Aryanist. I've always been a pan-Aryan. I mean, ever since I've woke up, yeah. I deal with pan-Aryanists all over the world, and it's too late to deal with petty nationalism. I think it's good to deal with local situations locally, like counties and states. But thinking nationally, the creeps always take over the positions of power nationally. So unless you can knock them out of the saddle, well, you're never going to get any place talking about nationalism. I know I get very upset with a lot of the guys who call themselves white nationalists, because that's not a good term. We're in this thing with the Russians, with the Serbs, with the English, with the Germans, with all the white people, and also deals can be made like with the Japanese and people like that. I've been a Japanese lecturing a couple of times, and of course I don't know whether you know it, but they're national socialists in Japan.
And I do know that.
And they don't have all that anti-World War II stuff, anti-Hitler stuff over there like they do here. Not as much. But anyhow, they say, how you put up with those niggers like you do? and I say, beats me, man.
Could you imagine someone suggesting that they had to bring in Haitians and Somalians and all these, third world trash like we do in this country, or to do that in China? They think we're crazy.
They might.
And also, we might actually have to abandon the idea of the nation state and seek an all-white nation, an international, worldwide white nation that includes Russia and Europe in America.
Nation is real estate. We can change our real estate.
Race, too.
Yeah, we can. As long as we have our race, it don't make any difference where we're at. I mean, we could gravitate to South America or Asia or any place and reestablish a white race. The idea that it's got to be here in the United States is false. Look at your people in Syria and so forth. When push comes to shove, they got to get out of there. They're bombing the shit out of them, killing them all, and they got to go someplace. So that's the same way with white people. When it gets bad, really bad for us, we got to go. We got to either fight ruthlessly and kill them all, or we go. And there's no in between.
Ethnically cleanse the Middle East and Turkey and just seize the Lebensraum.
I always had a thought in my mind there, but I forgot what it was. The point is, we got to start thinking pan-Aryan and all the right wing nationalism has to go away, and also the concept of trying to do it through the normal means has to go away. We have to say. My favorite National Socialist was Joe Tomasi. In the 70s, a man by the name of Joe Tomasi broke away from the National Socialist Party and formed his National Socialist Liberation Front. They threw away the uniforms and they put on Levi's and army jackets and grew their hair long and ran in the same way that the the left wing had done in the back in that day, and they were taking it to the enemy in small groups of men and women soldiers. He was my ideal National Socialist. We can't fight in any kind of organized manner anymore. I mean, closely organized. I don't have meetings. I don't have rallies. I don't fly flags all over the place. I don't do all this anymore. I just have lone wolves. They're all over the place. You never know where one of our guys are going to be. And some people say, there are none of you out there. I said, you don't know where, because I started preaching 20 years ago to grow your hair, skinheads, and go to college and get a profession.
I remember that.
Join the CIA, join the FBI, get in there, get into the halls.
I remember those days.
Yeah, well, they did, and they're there. I don't even know where they're at, but they're there. They're not told to call me. Don't ever call me. Things like that. These people are totally secret and underground, and that's what drives. You know how they've gone crazy over Lone Wolf in the last couple of years, and now they want to talk about it, Lone Wolf being these Mid-Easterners. Lone Wolves is a white thing, and it's been going on now for quite some time. And as far as I know, none of my hardly any of my lone wolves are in prison either, whereas the right-wingers are in prison all over the place. But you
so
see,
you
we have... We have
right, Tom, but you would say you were a third position, neither left-wing nor right-wing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And if something's good in the right-wing, I'll use it. If something's good in the left-wing, I'll use it. However, I do find a lot of the positions in the left more logical than in the right.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
How about the environment?
Well, we're pro-environment, you know, heavily pro-environment. We supported Earth First. We are very much anti-war. We're absolutely anti-war. I want to see all these guys like Bush and Cheney tried in The Hague and hung by the neck until dead. I mean, they're war criminals. We want to see all these war criminals killed. We don't want any white man to volunteer to go to the Middle East to fight for what they're told to fighting for your country. That's total bullshit. It's been bullshit in Korea. It's been bullshit in World War II. It's bullshit in Vietnam.
Hey, you know, what do you think about this a-hole Dylan Roof? Because, you know, he did something that actually had a bad reaction for us whites. It just sparked this strong anti-white sentiment and these movements that are now trying to remove our flag. Do you think
that's a smart idea? When it first happens, you sort of grit your teeth. But when I think about it, persecution is good. The more we are persecuted, the better. As long as we survive. And at first I was all set to condemn Dylan Roof, but I got to thinking about it, and I said, no, I'm not going to condemn any white man who strikes out on his own accord. It's his own idea. He's taking a responsibility for it. He's that lone wolf, and he did it. And would I advocate it? I don't think so. But...
In my view, if you were going to do something like that, you wouldn't do it in a way that someone would know about it. It would just be like they did in the Revolutionary War. Hit and run. Nobody knows what's going on.
Well,
yeah, and you wouldn't do it to somebody who's in a church. You would have to do it to something that was, that something that would matter, something that would disrupt communications or really do real guerrilla warfare. You don't just go in like a little peewee guy with a gun and shoot, and just stand there, get caught, make it a national crisis situation. That was not smart.
Do you know what it does to the subconscious of your opposition? It strikes a total fear and it sticks in their mind. And someday when a civil war revolution starts and they remember how ruthless we can be, it's going to be a weapon used against them. I used to, jump out and criticize everything every white guy did, but I don't anymore. Whether I choose to do that particular thing is questionable, there's going to be people. There's nothing you're going to do to stop this kind of thing. This is going to get more and more. There's going to be more and more of this stuff. And there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. So instead of crying about it, did you read what Dylan Root wrote and sent out?
No.
Oh, he wrote a manifesto that was great. I mean, his manifesto was great. I've known several of these kamikazes over the years, and I don't condemn them. I write them in prison, most of them, and so forth and like that. So what do we care anymore? There's nothing we can do that they're going to say, oh, that's a good thing. The Nazis did a good thing. The Klan did a good thing. Nobody's ever going to say anything good about us, so why don't we become the bad, bad, evil guys?
So you're saying take the hardcore approach and forget about toning it down, softening it up, trying to make it more palatable to the average white person. You're more for, let's just go and be hardcore and just do what we have to do and get out of there and wipe them out.
Right. I played that game. It's not that I haven't tried all these nice ways and running for office and all that kind of stuff. I've done all of that stuff. I've tried everything. Nothing works with the sheep. The sheep are following whoever they perceive has the power. And if you don't, like, for example, one time when I was running for Congress out in California, I had the program that every biker should have loved. I supported the bikers and all that kind of stuff. And so the election came, and it turned out they endorsed my opposition. And I called them. I said, "What the hell are you guys doing? I'm the guy who went to the wall for you bikers and all that kind of." "Well, Tom, you don't have the power." "Oh, okay." So that's all that people respect. They respect Trump because he's got a lot of money and a lot of power, and he's got a big mouth, and they respect that. They love that. They'll follow that to the ends of the earth. But if you don't have it, I mean, I can say all the right things in the world right here in my own community, and they write me off as a kook. I mean, you know. So I don't care about the public anymore. I'm not fighting for the public. I'm not trying to necessarily save their ass, and I think about half of the white race needs to be exterminated in this country. Because they're just useless and they're counterproductive, and that's why I'm supporting abortion. We want to abort all these dumbasses out and keep the gene pool as clean as possible and invest.
So you are a supporter of eugenics?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And I'm
strong, weak.
And I'm an atheist racist, too.
Huh?
I don't want anything to do with spooks in the sky or their bullshit Jesus and their Hebrew crap. And Christianity has become more of an enemy of the white race than actually the most of the Jews. Now, there's a lot of Jews in high position that are definitely bad for us. And they started on, you know, the reason I hate the Jews is because they created Christianity. You know, that's
yeah, and you know, they created Islam too.
That's right. That's right. And so now we've got a damn mind control center on every corner called a church that's taking our kids. Parents are forcing them in there. They're being preached this Jewish crap from the Old Testament in these Christian churches. And by the time they get propagandized in schools, they're worthless. They're worthless to us, you know. We've got to get them young and get them right. And like I say, I've said a long time ago, we should be investing in abortion mills, especially in the inner city.
Yeah, that would definitely decrease their population.
Now, you'll find we'll get more respect from blacks for being like I'm talking about than the kind that get on there like Duke and these guys. "Oh, I don't really hate anybody, and I really love them," and all that bullshit, and come right out and say the blacks, black separatists and black nationalists respect the hell out of me. I mean...
Bro, it's because, you see... It's hate. The concept of hate is really a Christian idea, because hate is actually the true emotion of hate. It's self-preservation, and it is an instinct in us to keep ourselves separate and strong away from those who are weak and threatening to our own superiority. And that's an instinct that's in every animal. But the Christians use the term hate. The liberals use the term hate. And all it is the instinct for survival, and might is right. That's all it is. And there's really no, I believe, no concept of good or evil. That's a Christian concept. The true concept of reality is might is right, strong and weak. That's how it is in nature. Nature doesn't have a situation of equality. There's no such thing as everything is equal in nature.
And
each creature has its own strengths and weaknesses. Every creature is different.
We have to recognize that we're simply higher animals, that's all. I mean, you know, and if when you get away from the concept that we're higher animals, then you're out in the swamp. The blacks, you see, one thing the blacks have retained in their race, they're intellectually overall incapable of doing what white race does, but they have retained a lot of the animalistic methods of survival.
Well,
and to a certain point,
we've lost that.
That's
we've
right.
Lost that
these blacks, in a crude way, are operating much smarter than we are, because with them it's kill or be killed, especially if they're living in the ghetto and so forth. People on the outside say, "Well, I wonder why they do that." Well, hell, it's survival. It's jungle warfare. It's a whole bit. The whites just don't seem to be able to respond to that. Then the only way they're going to get educated is by nature beating the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so worse. I took this from Lenin, you know, in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Worse is better in revolution," and that's why my position is worse is better for now. So trying to make it better is making it worse for the white race, and they don't realize it. Now, they'll get a guy like Trump come along, then they had Wallace, then they had Barry Goldwater, and they've had these guys come up all down through the years, and the white working class gets all excited. You can keep them excited for about 6 months, and then they go back to sleep. You can't change things that way, because it has to be something that goes on and on, like the Viet Minh in Vietnam, or these people in, well, even ISIS over there, people like that. People who are, you know, guerrilla warfare, and they keep it going, they're going to keep it going forever until they win. In Vietnam, we could have poured the whole national treasury of the United States in there and kept in there for 40 years, but they would end up winning because they fight for the blood. And they,
you know what else about the guerrilla warfare is, if you're organized in independent units without a central leadership, it works better because it's harder for the higher power that does have central leadership to figure out what the other one is going to do, because they can't trace it to a single order. It's independent units with the, you know, not without centralization, they go about and do it simultaneously. That's kind of how they worked in Vietnam. You know, they had, you know, it wasn't a matter that we were weak or we couldn't beat them. It's just that they allowed the body counts to rise to such a point that we, and of course they demoralized us through the hippie movement and the peace movement, and we just said, we don't want this killing to go on. You know, that was their way of winning the war. They knew they couldn't beat us in a regular conventional war, but they knew that if they could just keep us long enough engaged and keep those death rates up, eventually we'd just give up.
Sure. The Western countries always do that. The French gave up, too. That's why I promoted an idea called leaderless resistance, and that doesn't mean there is no leadership, but it does mean there's small groups of people with a natural leader. In every group, somebody's the natural leader. You don't have to, you know, get all excited. They come to the fore. So I support the idea of leaderless resistance and lone wolf. And I've been criticized heavily by the right wing, but let's see. Lone wolf and leaderless resistance is the only thing that works. It's the only way, only thing that has succeeded.
I mean, that was a Sun Tzu idea almost, you know? You remember Sun Tzu, the Asian military strategist with his go philosophy rather than the chess philosophy?
Yeah, and but that's why our military can't seem to win any place, because they can destroy everything, and they can drop a million bombs, but they never end up really winning. They leave, and it goes back to the way it was, or the other people take over. And the craziest thing is the people supporting this George Bush Jr., goddamn war criminal, and Cheney and not taking them over the Hague and trying them. Going into Iraq was the worst thing that we ever did. And of course, I was 100% against it. And I knew that it wasn't the Iraqis who knocked down the Trade Center. I knew that right. If anything bad happens, follow the money. Look at this Judge Scalia. They iced him. He was about to make decisions on some major, major cases. And somebody said, we can't have this guy on the court. So they put the pillow, over his face, and he's gone. I said that immediately. Follow the money. And now I see all these newspapers are coming out with articles that he may have been murdered. Well, whenever a guy in high position dies, there's a good chance he's been assassinated. And it's a good chance they'll never find the killer, just like, you know, in Dallas with Kennedy. People in power have an easy way of covering up their crimes, you know. But the people, unless the people get up and demand, it's going to keep going. Look, the banks all screwed the people and took their houses and destroyed the economy, and none of the bankers went to prison. I mean, there should have been thousands of people climbing up the stairs of these banks and dragging those sons of bitches out and chopping their heads off. Maybe we ought to get some ISIS people over here just to do the head chopping.
Wow.
Well, head chopping is a very effective propaganda thing. I mean, it's...
Well, you see, it through ISIS. That was a perfect example.
Well, I mean...
Their beheadings have had a great impact, a great propaganda impact.
Well,
and maybe we should look at trying to get something put together, some of the media group put together, like Al Jazeera for the white race.
Beheading is one of the oldest and most effective methods of execution. I mean, the French adopted it as a national thing with the guillotine, and because nothing strikes psychological fear in people like beheading. You know, Genghis Khan, when he was riding out of Asia west towards Europe, he was cutting heads off all the way, and he hung the heads from his bridle bits on his soldiers' horses. And they would get to a village, and there wouldn't be anybody there because they'd heard about him beheading, and everybody's gone. They didn't even, nobody stood to fight, you know. So what ISIS is doing, no matter how we feel about it, is nothing new. But it's effective, depending on what your goal is. Well, the United States promoted ISIS anyhow. ISIS is a product of the United States in their regime change.
Israel.
Well, it's the same. Israel and the United States, you know, you don't need to differentiate them. They're the same. I was over at Israel about 4 months ago. And a guy sent me over there. And
they let you in?
They let me in. They treated me fine. I mean, I don't know whether hardly anybody knew who I was. I didn't go around saying I didn't go around saying I was a white racist and I was anti-Jewish. Except there's a lot of anti-Zionists in Israel.
Well, there are anti-Zionist Jews who are very loyal to our cause, at least in a certain manner. And some of them will have no part of the rest of their race. And it's interesting. I know one in particular who has helped the movement a great deal. And you know, it's unusual.
Well,
that's
another thing where I think the right wing goes wrong. I don't think they should vilify every Jew, because you can quit being a Jew just like you can quit being a Baptist. There are certain ethnic things about some people that we see them as Jews, but in reality, I mean, the Jews are in every race, and that's their power. They infiltrate every race. I mean, you know, that's their power.
Well, they just did a genetic study and found out that in Germany, many of the German Jews, because the Jews don't intermarry, some of the Jews have straight genetic lines going all the way back to the 4th century A.D. to German converts to Judaism. So they're pure-blooded Aryans who practice, you know, could be Orthodox Judaism, and because they've been Jews for so long, they've lost the memory that their ancestors were Germanic chieftains.
Well,
you know? So that's what's so funny. There's this old story where Himmler was, viewing a Jewish prisoner, and he said, "Wait a second, you have blonde hair, blue eyes, look at your face. Are you really Jewish?" And he goes, "Yes, I am." He says, "Were your parents Jewish? Your mother? Yes. Your father? Yes. Do you have any non-Jews in your ancestry? No. Well, I can't help you."
Well,
he just went away demystified why he had this Aryan Superman who is a Jew.
Well,
it's because they haven't intermarried.
Well,
and then they might have some converts back years ago.
Well, they've established that over 50,000 Jews fought in the Wehrmacht for Germany, and you had a couple of Jewish German generals.
That's true.
Jewish generals.
And the great story never told talks about that.
See, the other thing about Germany was there were perhaps millions of people who had a Jew background that had been integrated into German society and married into Aryan race for a long, long time. And a lot of them even forgot that they even had any Jewish background. And when they come around and started hauling them off, they said, "Wait a minute, I'm not a Jew." "Yes, we've checked your background, and you're a Jew." A lot of them didn't even know that. That was the greatest mistake that Hitler made, was he should have required an oath of loyalty to the Reich from these people if they were physically Aryan, if they thought Aryan, if they looked Aryan, and so forth, and they were loyal to the homeland. He should have given them a pass. You know, I think it was that was a horrible mistake, and I don't think it was a mistake. I've got my theories on that, because the Zionists and the high command made an agreement in Eastern Europe, and he actually stroked a coin with us. Swastika on one side and Star David on the other. They made a deal. The deal was always to get the Jews over to Israel and build Israel. I've got a book here on my shelf, Israel, Hitler, the Father of Israel. And he really is. There would never have been of Israel if it hadn't been for Hitler. I'm suspicious of that whole era. And I think there's going to be a lot more research as time goes on to what was really, and why did this happen? The clogging up of the people being shipped east.
I got to ask you, I don't mean to interrupt you, but this comes to mind. Do you believe there was a Holocaust? Are you part of the religionist era that believes that there was no Holocaust? Are you a hardcore Aryan socialist who says, yes, there was a Holocaust and 6 million Jews died, and so what?
I'm in between. I say that we shouldn't use the word Holocaust, because that's a fabricated word used by our enemies and used by the Jews that automatically invokes this idea of 6 million Jews. It's not physically possible, mathematically, for them to have killed 6 million Jews. It's just mathematically impossible, and a whole lot of the information about how they did it is bogus, as far as the gas chambers and the way I was reading something the other day where this Jew escaped the gas chamber, but he said his job was to go in after they were gassed and drag them out. Well, you couldn't go into Zyklon B and drag them out. You'd die. Zyklon B is very toxic, and these places where they were supposed to have done it, they were not that well built. I mean, you know. So anyhow, but the point is, and of course, it takes about At that time, it took about 7 hours to cremate a body. Start figuring that out mathematically for 6 million. It'd take 150, 200 years. And also, where did all the ashes go? Nobody ever asked that. Where? I mean, that would be a mountain of, you know, maybe a half a mile high, 6 million Jews, you know, all the ashes. But the point is, I think the whole thing was a scam, and I say, well, hell yes, a lot of Jews died, but 55 million other people died, mostly white. So you think I'm going to sit around just to cry? You cry for your people, I'll cry for my people. I didn't ice your people. I didn't gas them. I didn't burn them. I didn't pit kill them. I didn't do that. So don't lay that shit on me.
That's right, because look at all the Aryans who died in World War II. And who's responsible for World War II? The Jews!
Well, not...
Aryans.
Yeah, you're right, but let's go back there. It was largely Aryan, rich, ruling class manufacturers and armament people that went along with it, who were involved in it. This idea of just blaming the Jews is something that I've been criticizing the right wing for a long time. You got to criticize the people of your own race. The people in the banks and the world money situation and the big arms manufacturers, they were into it up to their ears, anything to make a profit.
And they went along with the Jews and they collaborated with the Jews.
Well, of course they always have. The kings used to do that. The kings used to sense that Christians were not allowed to collect taxes. The kings used the Jews to collect taxes. Well, they send the Jews out to collect taxes, and after a while, the Jews were clipping the coin, carving off shavings off the coin, and screwing the king. The king gets mad, and also the peasants are fed up with the Jews coming around, getting all their money, and the peasants rise up and start killing the Jews, and then ultimately the king will send out the army finally to save the Jews. So there has always been a relationship between the Jews and high finance. And who caused that? It was the Christians who caused that. I mean, you know, they don't want to accept that. That in most cases,
even Richard Wagner said, oh, you need a Jew, I need a Jew. Everybody needs a Jew when it comes to money because they can smell that money with that snout. And, you know, that's kind of funny. That's true. You know, they've been the mercenaries of high finance.
Well, and I hate to be an apologist for the Jews, but they were forced into it. I mean, they were forced out of most, they couldn't get into most occupations. And so they went into the money lending and pawnbroking and stuff like that. And so a lot of, you know, we're always creating our own enemy, you know. Our race is always promoting our own enemy and creating our own enemy. And that's our biggest enemy is us. Nobody else. It's not the niggers, not the Jews, not the Asians. We're our own worst enemy.
So what you are advocating is kind of like how the black Muslims yell at their people to wake up and be accountable for their mistakes and their shortcomings. You're doing the same for the Aryan race. You're saying don't blame somebody else when you need to look at yourself and what you do, and you allow them. It's like it's not as much they're doing wrong to you. It's that you give them the gun and say, shoot me.
Yeah, if we cleaned out all the corrupt white crooks and criminals and war criminals in this country, cleaned them all out of Washington, all out of the big cities, all out of the banks, all out of the churches and all that, and then the next day, look around, the Jews would be on a boat out of here as fast as they'd be going out of here as fast as Bin Laden did after the trade building came down. The whole family jumped on a plane and got out of here. The Jews wouldn't stick around. I mean, at least the big shot Jews wouldn't stick around. No, our race has been corrupt for a long time. A long time. We don't face that fact. That's the problem. And anybody
that... Bobby Wickersall, that would, you know, we have to love our race, but what you see you saying is almost like we love our race, but the thing, we got to hate our race. So where do you stand on this love? Personally, I love my race more than my own life, and I would do anything for my race. I love everything about my race. But you're also saying that in some ways we got to have a little bit of hatred or self-hatred of some mistakes we've made.
There's no place in evolution that says you got to love anybody, but the point is you got to love the ones that deserve love. They've got to deserve love. These people, most of the society today, white people, don't deserve love. They deserve hatred. And we should hate with a perfect hatred these bad whites, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you think I'm going to, these guys running for office that are white, I'm going to love them? Bullshit, I hate their guts, you know? I'm honestly.
So you're anti-Trump as well?
Hell yes. You think I'm going to trust a billionaire guy that he ran with the Jews in New York City? He ran with the mob and everything else, and he mistreated labor people that worked for him, and that's true. He brought Polish guys over here that took jobs from Americans, which I'm all for Polish people, but. We got people all over this country out of work, and he's bringing them in. No, this is bullshit. I don't. Ross Perot ran, and he said, "I feel your pain." I said, "Bullshit. You say you got $7 billion bucks in the bank. I don't trust anybody. I don't love anybody that's got that much money, because behind every fortune there's a crime." And all the men have been killed in these wars that you guys have been...
Hey, what would you say about Trump's Jewish... his kids are all married to Jews.
Well, there's a perfect example of why you can't trust any of these people like that. The only thing I like about him is what people perceive him to be. And he's created mass chaos, and that's great. That works in our favor. We have to seize on what works in our favor. And chaos and things like that... And the worse is better. And
even though you think that we have shortcomings of the race, you still have to say that we are the best race and we have to serve our race.
Yeah.
I just want to make my audience clear that you're not saying that there is an inferiority among our race, amidst our race, but you're saying that we are the best, we are superior. But in essence, we have to act superior and earn that superiority.
Well, let me say this. Race is a lot like a pyramid. The genius is at the top, the capstone. And you need the whole pyramid for a biological breeding of the race at the bottom. And it goes up. But the genius is at the top, and it always will be. But the trouble is, as the base gets narrower, in other words, less white people, you have less to pick from geniuses. You're killing geniuses, you know, and like that. But every race has got corruption, and our race, the fact that we become ruthless in war and so forth is not, that's not bad. I mean, when we get our ass up against the wall, we come out like you wouldn't believe. And that's what I'm hoping for, that the white race will get so far down and up against the wall that finally they'll explode. And when they do, watch out. These other races that are giving us trouble, they won't be around.
So you're less of this idea that we have to love every member of the white race. You're more on an evolutionary genetic rise that, like what Hitler said, we must raise a new man in a new ideal.
Yes.
You are all for new, advanced, the evolution and superiority of the greatest race on earth.
Yeah, I don't think.
In a nutshell,
I don't think we should. I don't think we should use the word love. Try to explain an abstract term like love. That's like trying to explain equality. There is no such thing as equality. There is no such thing as rights and God-given rights and all that bullshit. And it's same way with love. What do you mean love? There's a hell of a lot of lust going on, but very little love, because it's very hard even to describe love. And to say you love an individual is hard enough, but to say you love...
So you would cite loyalty as...
Yes.
A replacement for the emotion of love. Loyalty and respect for a behavior and a action that is earned of that loyalty and respect, rather than just blind love.
Absolutely. Once you get away from natural, you know, evolution, might is right, and, you know, the strong survive, once you get away from that, you're out in the swamp and the weeds and you're going nowhere. It's and that's what's been bred out of our people through all this centuries of Christian crap and stuff, you know, and all of this liberal idea. Nothing's liberal. There's no real. It's just something they use to get over on you until they can kill you. They want you to be liberal so they can chop your head off. I mean, I've been. I mean, the stuff I've been through and the courts I've been drugged through, and they talk about equality and justice and all that. I gave up on that a long time ago.
Yes, that's a development of the Enlightenment and the Freemasons, which we know where that comes from as well.
Right. Yeah.
And this country was founded by Freemasons, so... You could almost say, from the very beginning, the creation of America had an ulterior motive, that it had a certain mission from day one, and that as much as we think that this nation needs to be brought back, you need to really ask the question, what are we bringing back? What are we saving? Are we saving something that was meant for a higher purpose for the white race, or is it something... that should not have been.
Well, the problem is they see the population as sheep, like the Jews say the goyim, which is true. The bulk of the race are sheep, and they feel that they have to absolutely herd them like sheep in the field to do the right thing according to what they think the right thing is. And so that's what we're up against. There are wolves and goats around that could change things and direct the sheep in a different direction, but they're usually done away with by the leaders, by the guys at the top. I hope I made myself clear there, because these guys behind the throne that think they're so smart, and they may think sometimes they're doing the right thing, but they're ignorant. They're intelligent, ignorant men. And most of the time they do something wrong. Now, what are they going to do with overpopulation? What the hell are they going to do with 7 billion people coming on in the world? They're sending doctors over there and medicine, all kinds of medicine to Africa to save their asses. You don't want to save their asses. You don't want to... go out to kill them, but you got to let nature take its course, or we're all going to go down. We'll all have to get on a ship and go to Mars, man. 7 billion.
Yeah, that's what I used to think when I was a teenager. I thought we could get a ship of white people and go to Mars and start rebuilding the white race there and underground tunnels and terraform it, and I was all into that, and I'm like, eventually when I got to be 18, I said, it ain't going to happen.
But you know what would happen? They'd want to drag some niggers and Jews along with them. And they would start all over again. We'd screw Mars up. I don't want to spread this shit all over the galaxy. Let's keep the galaxy pure. So anyhow, it's but you know, it's true that the majority of people are sheep, and they always were sheep, and they always will be sheep. You got to have the right kind of leadership that will hopefully lead them once in a while in the right direction, but they will be led by somebody.
Now, my question to you is, would you describe yourself as an Aryan evolutionary socialist?
Yeah, I could. I would accept that. Sure.
Because what you're saying here is pure evolutionism in the strictest sense. You're talking about the survival of the fittest. You are talking about Mike is right. You're talking about bettering the race. What is the best strand? What is the worst strand? So you are very much into the whole aspect of Mein Kampf that talks about the perfecting of our race. Because I mean, I believe that. I believe that, you know, they say keep our race pure. My reaction always is, yeah, keep it pure, but continue to advance the race. Don't just let it stay stagnant in one spot. It's always improvement.
I don't know about pure.
Through civilization, you know?
I don't know about pure. That's another abstract word I get stuck on. I think that, number one, Hitler borrowed all the eugenics programs that we already had in this country. Now, we got it. And since it was a new science, pretty much a new science, obviously there was mistakes made, and there were excesses made. But it was a way to go, and it gradually would have evolved into something very good. I think in Germany they went too much into the Germanic thing, and I think they screwed it up. They got too finite and too technical. And I think it became too political. And
so you would say that the Slavs, the Teutons, the Celts, you know, maybe even those of France and Spain, Italy, as long as they're white, you know, because this is what I've always said.
Yeah.
You know, people ask the question, what is better, English, Swedish, French, German, Irish, Russian, Polish? I say all of them, because what matters is that I am white. And when you attribute the term white Aryan, in that sense, by using that word Aryan in that sense, you're talking about someone who is devoted to the ideals of what you're talking about. You're not necessarily talking about a race in particular when you say white Aryan. That's also a political indication. Would you not say that?
Not only, but also culturally European in background.
Mm-hmm.
Most whites are European in background, and also white Hispanics. I mean, you know, South America is full of white Hispanics. Iberian Spanish. If you've ever traveled in Spain, oh God. Full of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, red-headed people.
That's true.
And why has our racial struggle in this country in the right wing always spurned the South Americans? You know, some of the National Socialists have respected them, but not to the degree they should. All those whites in South America, we should be courting them all the time.
I knew a white Spaniard. He came from Spain. He was a skinhead, and he didn't speak a word of English, but we knew each other, and, you know, he gave me hand signs, and he's always doing me favors, you know, when I was losing weight, giving me his skinhead clothes and all that. And after getting into the skinhead, do you still support the skinheads, and what is your take on the skinhead? It's pretty much dead now. It's gone down since the 1990s.
Well, part of the reason was that I told him to... It's over. It went for a while and had some successes, a lot of failures, but it's over now, and we got to go in a different direction. So grow your hair, wear regular clothes, get a college education if you can, or get into a good job, infiltrate the military, whatever you can. If you can become a CIA guy or FBI, fine, and just get in there and wait, because our time will come. And that's where a lot of them went. A lot of them went the other way with the old right wing, and just now they're into drugs and everything else, and then most of them are useless now. But it was it was a good idea.
We need really, I mean, we need educated people. We need leaders. We need warriors. We need workers. What we really need is a caste system. We need a stratified society that there's a place for each person who has certain gifts to give the white race. Rather than just having people all over the place trying to find where they go, the minute they're born, those who have the gifts in a certain area, then those people are nurtured for those gifts. The same thing with women. You know, hell, monogamy. We need to raise the race, the level of our population. Bring back polygamy. Bring back genetics and eugenics. Breed as many strong, able, and gifted white people as possible. You know, we're not only in a war with arms, we're in a war with our population.
Cheer up, Brian. You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on. Always look on the bright side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow. So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. I told him, Bernie, I said, I'll never make that money back.